In the morning, we had a lesson together on the pattern in Jesus' life of seeking out times of solitude so that he was prepared and filled for the service and the ministry in the other times of his life. And last Sunday evening, we talked a little bit more about that and just shared some ideas with one another about how to handle our time and how to set priorities in our lives where our time is concerned. And last week, Rod and I were talking a little bit about the lessons, and we were talking about some other applications. And one of the things that Rod and I were talking about is what he's going to be talking to us about tonight, because a lot of us who've been around Rod through a lot of years know something about the models that he shared, models that he taught when he was working at IBM, but models that and kind of examples, metaphors, kind of drawn metaphors to help make application of principles. And what Rod has always been able to do after learning those is to find spiritual application for them. And one of the models that he's shared in the past, I know with me, is the seven ports of life. So we were talking about time management, and he was asking me kind of which way I was going to go this week and that sort of thing. So during the course of this week, I called Rod and said, you know, Sunday night, I think your seven ports of life would really fit in good with the lesson. You know, we're going to have something kind of interactive. I could get it started, turn it over to you maybe for 10 minutes. You could do the seven ports of life. And he said, well, I don't think I could do it in 10 minutes. And I said, oh, rats. I was really hoping that, I just said, you know, Rod, if you could present that to the congregation, I think it fits so well with what we're talking about. And Rod, as his gracious self, said that he would do that for us tonight. And it's one of those informative teaching points that has such a really good relevant life application about how to make decisions and trade-offs when it comes to our time. So tonight, just really glad. I think he probably needs no further introduction than why he's coming up here tonight. But really appreciate you, Rod, and thank you for talking to us tonight about our ports of life and how to make the best decisions. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard. I had requested a formal invitation tonight, but I see that I didn't get that. You know, I was reminded as we were singing, It Is Well With My Soul. That's my prayer for all of us tonight, that we can sing that song with much confidence, okay? I know in whom I believe, okay? And I'm persuaded that he's able. And so therefore, hopefully everything is well with our souls, because that's what it's all about. Okay, is to have our souls in good shape. And I hope that if there's anyone here tonight that has not studied the Bible a little bit, looked at it, knows what one must do to be saved or get in that saved condition, that they will do that before their life goes on much longer. Because we never know, do we? We never know what might be around the corner, so to speak, for any of us. And so therefore, especially when you get as old as I am, all right? It's coming around the corner pretty fast. Therefore, you need to be able to say, it's well with my soul, all right? It's just that simple. Tonight, as Richard said, I'm going to share with you a model that I taught a couple of models linked together here that I taught while I was with IBM in management environment, and I'm going to try to adapt that. You're going to see that a lot of it is kind of worldly type of material, but I want to try to adapt that to the thought of living the Christian life, okay, and how we need to do that. We're not exempt from things of the world. We know that. We're in the world, but we do not have to be of the world. Therefore, we need to look at things that are part of our lives today, okay? So what we're going to look at is all of these models have a definition to them. And this first one is called the Seven Ports of Life. It's an analysis of life on the basis of the seven areas where time is spent. Thus, the port analogy, meaning destinations. That's what we're talking about. You know, a little bit of trivia. The ships that sail our seas today have very little trouble, even though they've had the cruise ship had trouble. There's, you know, when you think about all of the ships that are traveling the world's oceans, there's very little mishap today at sea. Why? Because they have one destination in mind. They're sailing from one port to the other, San Pedro to Honolulu. And they get there usually without any problems, all right? This is what's going on in life. But life is not that way for the individual. And that's what I want to point out to us tonight as we look at this. It's called the Seven Ports, and it starts with a big circle in the middle that is you and me. We have some decisions to make in life. And so this is what we want to look at. Let's put these up here, and then we can talk about them as we kind of talk together. What we have here is seven ports. And out in here is all of these ports of life. Areas where you and I spend our time. And so what are they? First of all, sometimes we're on the job, right? Sometimes we're with a family environment. Sometimes we're in a community type of atmosphere. We'll talk about all of these. Sometimes we're in school, education going on. Sometimes we're in recreation. In fact, don't take that away from me. I love recreation, okay? And then we have what I don't spend a great deal of time in this port. It's health port, a lot of exercise and things like that, okay? I have a treadmill in the garage, and I look at it every day, okay? But here is the spiritual port of life. And we could, you know, subtitle that church activities and so on, going on. Now, what we have is all of this, all of these things out here in this areas of life are competing for what? They're competing for our time, okay? How many of you are going to do something when you find the time? Yeah. May I tell you, you found it all? We have found all the time. There's 24 hours in a day. That's it. Now, I know some restaurants claim they're open 25 hours, you know, because they stay around the clock. But the point is, there's 24 hours in a day. That's it. So you and I have to make a decision on where we're going to spend that time. All right? That's just a fact of life. So what do we have? Richard mentioned this in his lesson today, that the word trade-off. Are you familiar with that expression, trade-off? Some of you are, I know. We trade off things. We trade off things for another thing, whatever it might be. It's a principle in life. It's called the trade-off principle, because you simply, if you are working or spending your time in the ports of life, time spent in one port means you cannot spend it in another. All right? That's what you're trading off. I worked, and I was pretty happy with my job, with the corporation I was with. And I spent a lot of time there, do you know it? And especially when I got a job that took me on the road, teaching managers all over our country. In fact, 1 year was bad. 256 nights away. I wouldn't do that today. But that's what happened, because I was what? I was after improving on my job, career path, make more money, all those kinds of things. But do you think if I ask my wife, Sue, what's number one in your life, Rod? What would it have been at the time? Huh? Could have been this. Because I had a tough time convincing her it was this one when I was gone. Okay? That's just reality. So what do we do? What do we do when we are in this dilemma? We know we've got 24 hours a day. That's all. There's only 24. And we now have to find out where we're spending it. Now, I want you to concentrate a little bit over here for just a moment. Because when you teach this in kind of the secular world atmosphere, that means kind of like, well, you go to church Sunday and maybe you go Wednesday. But I'm going to come back and visit that because, and I'll say it right now, you as a Christian, myself as a Christian, we need to take Christ, the church, our spiritual life into every port of life. We need to take it to the job. We need to have it enriching our families. We need it as a community member. If we're going to school, we need to let the world know that we're a Christian. In recreation, it's very important. In health, perhaps not, but you might go down and work out or something, okay? We've got to take our spiritual life into every port of life that we operate in. If we're not, we're kind of not true to ourselves, okay? We're really not true to ourselves. But the world would look at this as, well, you ought to spend at least 3 or 4 hours in spiritual activity every day, or at least on Sunday, okay? At least on Sunday. So that's the way the world would look at that. So what do you have to do? What do I have to do? First of all, who determines where I spend my time or where you spend your time? Who determines that? A little louder. We do. You, me, right. Now, do we like to blame that on others? You know, I'm married. Guess where I have to spend my time? Is that true or not? No. See, I still determine where I'm going to spend my time. Because I could say, you know, goodbye, I'm going to, I don't know where, the Caribbean. I'm just going to go to the Caribbean and live it up. And fooey on the job, fooey on the family. I need my space. You ever heard of that one? Okay, so who determines? We've determined, I think. It's you, it's me. We determine where we're going to spend the time. So what do we need to do? We need, as individuals, to set priorities. We need to set priorities. Try it for yourself. Look at this and say, what's number one in my life up there? All right? What's number two? What's number three? Because that's going to determine where you spend the time. All right? There's just no doubt about it. So what you have to do is determine which one of these is the most important. Now, what do we try to do to get around this? What I call multiple port activity. If I can have a couple of ports or maybe three of them going at one time, boy, that's smart, okay? That's great use of time. So, you know, when I was younger, I would take the family to the beach. We would do a little jogging, all right? I would take a book, a spiritual book, that would educate me, all right? Isn't that what we do? We try to combine things together so we can have the what we would call the best use of our time. And it is the way we get around things. We try our best to combine parts of life. But we have to look at what is the most important. When you look at so-called giants in the industry, in the business world, in the corporate world, what kind of men or women are they? I would suggest they're probably one-port men and women. And it's right there. They've devoted their life to the job. Therefore, it's going to take more of that 24 hours, all right, in order to suffice it. So, one other thing I'd like to say, that when we look at this model, there's another model that we used in the course. It was a word model, and it's called behavior is goal-directed. Behavior. What I'm willing to do, how I'm going to act and behave. Behavior is goal-directed. What does that mean to you? What does that term mean to you? Behavior is goal-directed. What? A little louder. I got the same problem Bob has, okay? What is it? All right. The whole thought here is behavior is goal-directed. Where are the goals? If you looked at this model, don't you see or can you see that the goals in life are all out here? This is where the goals of life are housed. All right? What's my goal there? To be successful on the job. What's my goal here? To be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good grandfather. And yes, now great-grandfather, okay? That's my role. I want to do that. And so all of these that are important to me, I have, the goals are sitting out there. Now, I have to behave in such a way that behavior, if behavior is goal-directed, how do I behave in order to reach that goal? That's really what we're saying. I have to come to grips with that. Look at this recreation. I played a lot of golf when I was younger. I loved golf, all right? Now, my goal was to be a golfer that, you know, could get into the 80s anyway, okay? Good score, 72, okay? A wonderful score, 72. Most of us are in golf for fun. If we could break 100, we're feeling pretty good. But I had a goal to be, now, what do I have to do in order to reach that goal? Behavior is goal-directed. Now, by the way, I want to reach par golf, but I only want to spend 6 hours every month practicing. What do you think my chances are? Do you see that that is a problem? Well, let's relate it to Christianity for a moment. I want to reach heaven. I want to please God. I want to work in the church. But, you know, Sunday morning only, please. What do you think? God going to be pleased? What do you think, Myron? He's shaking his head. You see, that just doesn't work, guys. If we let's just let this line, let me put it in blue. Let's let this line equal the role that we're willing to play in order to reach the goal that is out here. Role is another word for behavior. What kind of behavior are you going to play or do in order to reach the goal? All right? That becomes key. Other words, am I willing to play the role the goal calls for? I just gave you an example in golf that I'm not willing to play the role because it requires probably 7 days a week, at least 6 hours a day practice. All right? I'm not willing to play that role. So a lot of times we're not willing. See, there is a dualism or a conflict going on constantly between roles and goals. Do you see it? In other words, the concept is I have a goal out there, but the role I'm willing to play is something else. That really develops into something else, and I don't want to play that role. Now, I want everyone in my life to keep remembering that that's my goal, though. All right? See, that's important. That you, even though it's a false goal at this point in time. Do you see it? So we have to be true to ourselves, and this conflict between roles and goals exists. And you can see that the conflict in goals and goals exist even. Can you have more than one goal in life? I do. I want to be good on the job. I want to be a good family man. I want to be a good in the community. I'm not willing to play that role. I never was, okay? Never joined the community things, all right? Homeowners Association? No, thank you. Some people love it. And they're willing to play the role that that goal calls for to be successful in that area. And that's fine. All of these are where the goals are out here. And they're competing for what? Our time. Only 24 hours in a day. And so if I'm going to school, I can't spend it over here. Or I'm not going to be able to do it here. Back to the point, though, of Christianity and the church and what it means to all of us is that we take Christ in every port of life. We know that, I think, but I want to keep emphasizing it. It isn't just a little time spent here that appeases out of this 24 hours a day. You need more than that. So there's a conflict between goals and goals. There's a conflict between goals and roles. And even sometimes there's a conflict between roles and roles. I'm not the same person in the same port of life, okay? I behave in a different way, all right? One other thing. How are we doing with time? Okay, I guess. That's not the best use of our time tonight. By the way, would you please, Stan and I are recording the Super Bowl. No one tell us the score, all right? If you do, you're in trouble, all right? The next thought is, out of this, because this is a dilemma, because there's a conflict going on all the time between where I spend my time, what am I willing to do to get to the goal and all of that. That's a conflict going on in my life all the time. What does that bring about? What it brings about is a lot of anxiety. Or another popular word today for that is stress. You ever talk to anybody that they're stressed out? Like you're not? You know? We all have stress. It's just sometimes we cope with it a little better, don't we? Now, what causes anxiety? What causes this stress? Well, we could probably talk about that all night. But what the experts, some of the so-called experts say, is the three things that cause anxiety. One is guilt feelings. Guilt feelings. You ever feel guilty about anything? Does that make you anxious? Yeah. What do we feel guilty about? Sometimes it's what we are not doing. Sometimes it's what we're doing. See? Both areas bring on guilt. I feel guilty because I'm not doing. Most of you know that Sue's in a care facility now for Alzheimer's. Let me just relate that as it does me personally. A lot of time I'm spent now in anxiety, thinking, what should I have done several years ago? What could I, you know? Other words, the guilt, and what somebody would tell me, my good friends will tell me, stop that, okay? Don't feel guilty. But that's life, we do. We feel guilty about sometimes what we're not doing and other times what we are doing. Now that's one thing that causes it. The other one is, most of us share in the fear of death. We have a fear of death. That kind of relates in trying different things into a fear of failure. And that also causes anxiety with us. But the third one that I think applies a great deal to the Christian, and that is a lack of sense of purpose. If I don't have a sense of purpose in my life, it brings about stress or anxiety. You want to relieve yourself of a lot of stress and anxiety? Have a purpose in life that ties to Christianity, that ties with making God happy or pleased. I don't know if God gets happy, but he gets pleased and joyous, okay? That's really what we need to do, all right? We need to have a sense of purpose. Sometimes that sense of purpose can be only, you know, I'm going to work in that program at the church, and I'm going to really work at it, and I'm going to spend some time because it'll make me feel better. It'll give me a purpose in life. It'll give me, I'll be pleasing to my Maker, and maybe one day I'll be in heaven with him. All right? That's really what we need to do, to have a sense of purpose. Now this, a lot of this is just facts. This is really what happens in life, and we need to make the decisions to work for the Lord, have a sense of purpose. Don't get confused with roles and goals. Get the goals out there. You know, goals are so important, but they're hard to make. They're hard to keep. But we need to do our best. I would ask you this one quick question at the end here. Is your goal heaven? You can do it like this if it is. Huh? Is it? Is your goal heaven? Well, if it is, would you do me a favor for yourself? Behave in such a way to reach it. Okay? That's really key. Behave in such a way to reach it. Thank you for paying attention to me. Thank you. Richard?
I think it's on, maybe just battery's low, the lights, the red light's on. Thank you, Rod, so very much. Really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your wisdom about this, and it certainly does completely fit into what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Just Rod had mentioned to me to go ahead and kind of finish things up with an invitation, a couple of thoughts just from what Rod has just said. As he talked about roles and goals, the one thing that really struck me, Rod, is that if you want to know what your goals are, look at your behavior. We fool ourselves at times. We fool ourselves that, oh, this is my goal, this is what I'm after, this is what I'm pursuing, but our behavior is nowhere near in keeping with the achieving of that goal. As Rod said, that's a false goal. We think the goals are the things that we've written down on that piece of paper that we're going to get accomplished this year, and maybe they truly are, but only if we're willing to act in such a way to make those occur. I want to be more evangelistic. Well, is my behavior any different than it was before? Am I acting any differently than I was before? I want to spend more time with the Lord, more time in quiet time, more time in solitude. Well, that's wonderful to say, but the question is my behavior any different than it was before? And so as we look at our own lives, I think it's important to examine not just what we think our goals are, but to really look closely at our behavior, because our behavior really shows what the practical goal is, what we're doing. And I think, to some degree, what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, you know, and many that are going to be surprised when they see the Lord in judgment. They know the right words to say. They have the vocabulary down. They think that they fit in with people of faith. But Jesus said, you know, their behavior isn't right. They're not being obedient to the Father. They think that they're going in this direction, but they're not. And the second and last thing I would just end with is, as Rod talked about, our ultimate goal. Just a few verses early in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I appreciate the reminder that Rod gave us more than once tonight, that for us, the spiritual port is not just a separate entity that we travel to on occasion, but in fact is, in a sense, the vehicle in which we navigate through all of the ports of life. That's the sphere in which we live all of the time. God doesn't get a part of our life, and we leave him off when we go to school or to work, but rather that as Christians, that's the center of our life, the core of our life, because the kingdom is first, seeking God, seeking a right relationship with God. Tonight, if you don't have that relationship with him yet because you've never come to him through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed for all of us on the cross, we would encourage you, if you have come to faith, if you're ready to make Christ Lord, to truly be a follower and a disciple of Jesus, we invite you to come tonight to confess him and to be baptized into Christ, to begin that new life. And as Christians assembled here tonight, if any of us are struggling with just kind of getting our own act together, getting our behavior to match what we know our goals really should be and are, but we're just falling short in following through, if there's anyone here tonight who needs the counsel of the elders or the prayers of the church, please take advantage of this moment right now and let us know while we stand together and as we sing.